You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello and welcome to the On The Money podcast. It's Monday, the 6th of October. I'm Stephanie Youssef, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. Today, the ASX finished the day 0.07% lower. I'll have a bit more on that a little later. But first, annual superannuation statements are starting to arrive in the mail, and we're being urged not to ignore them. According to a survey from Canstar, about a fifth of respondents only check their super once every few years or never. But undergoing a financial health check once a year could potentially not only save you money, but plays a role in determining how much your nest egg will be. For more, I spoke with Canstar's Data Insights Director, Sally Tindall.
Your annual superannuation statement is arriving in the next few weeks or months if it hasn't arrived already. And it's not a piece of mail or email that you want to file away unopened. Open it up and use it as your yearly reminder to stop and do a health check on what is, for many people, one of their biggest assets and their most important assets, because it determines how comfortably they might live in retirement.
Why is it important for people to check their super statement? And is it concerning that people are only checking it once every few years?
It is concerning that some people are only checking in on their nest egg every few years. Your nest egg in your superannuation account is the key to a comfortable retirement. ASA suggests that you need, as a single person, $595,000 when you hit 67 in order for a comfortable retirement. And that includes owning your own home outright. If you're not on track, your superannuation statement will be the first port of call to understand how much you have in your balance, whether you're on track to hit that magic number in retirement, and what you might be able to do now in order to secure that nest egg that you need.
So what are some of the things people should be looking out for in those statements?
Yeah, well, first up, check your details. Make sure that your personal details are correct, that your tax file number has been recorded. And then check your contributions. Your employer should pay you at least four times a year, so make sure that they've paid you the right amount of super throughout that last financial year. Then it's time to check on the performance of your super balance. Check the returns, check the fees. So make sure that your fund is performing at a competitive level, not just in the short term, but also understand how it fared in over the last 5 years, the last 7 years, even the last 10 years, and compare that to the top performing funds. You also want to check at this point whether the fees that you are paying are actually reasonable for the returns that you've achieved within that financial year. Fourth, size up your balance. Make sure it's on track for a comfortable retirement. And then assess your investment mix. So you want to make sure that the investment settings are right so that it's going to deliver, your fund's going to deliver on your long-term goals, but you're not taking on an excessive amount of risk for your age. It's important to do that at least once a year. And then have a look at what insurance you might have in super. This could include life insurance, total and permanent disability insurance, maybe even income protection insurance. So understand exactly what level of cover you have in your super for those insurances, how much you're paying, and whether you might want to up that insurance or maybe get a standalone policy outside of your super. It's important to think about these things. Then confirm your beneficiaries. Understand, you know, who might get your superannuation balance if you pass away, and understand whether it's binding or non-binding, because that can sometimes have a difference. And then if you've got any multiple accounts, consider consolidating them, because having a number of superannuation accounts makes it more difficult to track exactly what your nest egg is in your superannuation balance. But also it could mean that you're paying multiple fees that you don't need to.
So for those who aren't checking their super statements, what are the risks involved with not checking their super statements?
I think at risk is having a comfortable nest egg growing in your super. So it's really important to do things like check on the performance of your fund to make sure that it's keeping up with the pack, because you want to have those superannuation contributions growing in a nice warm environment that will help you achieve your retirement goals. It's also really important to check the basic details, things like, do I have more than one super account? Do I have my details right? Do I have my beneficiaries listed as I want them? Do a check of them at least once a year with your annual super statement to make sure you've got all those small but really important details right.
There would also be scammers who are using this time to take advantage of people. What's your advice to consumers?
Yeah, it's really important to be alert for scammers, in all financial products, and it does not stop at superannuation. So if you are contacting your superannuation fund, make sure that you're not just clicking on a link that's been sent to you by email or by text message. Go in via the provider's website that's authorized or on the app that you've already safely downloaded, and make sure that you check any details twice, especially if you're making a change in your superannuation. The government has also made it easier to check on things like your superannuation accounts via the MyGov website. So provided you're using the right links, that's a nice, safe environment to do that as well.
That was Sally Tindall from Canstar. To the Australian share market, which has closed 0.07% lower at 8,981.4. Six of the 11 sectors finished in the red, led by a tech sell-off which offset gains by gold and copper miners following a surge in both commodity prices. For more, Raina Sarampayat spoke with George Bouboros from K2 Asset Management.
So firstly, to the Australian share market, it was expected to rise and maybe go further into record territory after Wall Street ended higher. Instead, it's gone backwards. Why?
The lead, as you say, with Wall Street was anticipated to be a positive sentiment for Australia, but it's effectively a public holiday for more than half the country. On light volumes, the market's just retracing itself a little bit. Within the market that's retracing itself a little bit, the local equity market, the standouts continue to be some of the key precious metals. Gold continues to be rallying, whether they're gold producers or gold is the precious metal. It's had another record level over the past week, and that continues as a diversified investment with US dollar weakness year to date. Then there's some other things to add to that very quickly, and that is copper. There's been some supply concerns in South America, for example. And the copper is a very key commodity for the energy transition underway globally. And with those supply constraints, and it takes so long to get a copper mine on board, it tends to be very much volatile for the price, and that share price is very much stronger. So the standouts are gold producers and copper as an example in the local market.
And you mentioned oil. The OPEC cut was lower than expected. Did the market reaction surprise you?
No, it's pretty much in line. So just over 1% around there for the Brent. OPEC at the margin, just the production cuts weren't as big as people anticipated. So as oil, the Brent version, which is obviously coming out of the Middle East for the European sort of market, when it's around that $65 market per barrel US dollars, it tends to be in that range where it continues to attract investment. For those markets. So a little bit stronger on the day, again, on the OPEC production cuts at the margin. Nothing too much in it, but still that's a little bit stronger. And energy companies globally will benefit in Europe as it opens later on in the next few hours, and have benefited in this time zone as well.
Now, big news at the weekend. We have a possible new Japanese Prime Minister, a female, Sanae Takeuchi. Now, what impact do you think she and her particular inclinations will have on the market? We've already seen some market response in terms of equities and also the yen.
Yes, without a doubt, this is the big move within the region. Sanae Takeuchi, obviously very much a seasoned political person in the Japanese market. But what's happened today, and has to be obviously confirmed by the parliament in Japan, but the market's up very strong around that 4% mark, and it's a very aggressive rally in anticipation of the following. Sanae Takeuchi, they're calling it the Takeuchi trade, and that is more targeted fiscal stimulus from the government and what they call PPPs with the public and private partnerships to target spending and more infrastructure as well. That's obviously going to be stimulatory. In addition to that, the language from the Takaichi trade has been that they don't want any more rate hikes. The Japanese have been at odds with a lot of other central banks. They've been raising rates from those historic lows for decades, and markets expecting that to be on hold. So when you have the anticipation and change in expectation of more targeted government fiscal spend, plus when you have that expectation change that rates won't go up anymore and they want them to be where they stay at the same level or perhaps lower interest rates going forward, that's very good for interest rate sensitive areas like real estate and consumer cyclicals have been benefiting. And also the weaker yen versus the US dollar is very much conducive to Japanese corporate earnings and technology. And the Japanese technology market has been a good sort of default technology exposure. So everyone's benefiting and it's repricing. And the 4% rally on the day is a very, very strong rally indeed on the Takaichi trade.
Yes, the yen has plunged against the US dollar today. So for Australian travellers who obviously have been very interested in the level of the Australian dollar against the yen, any impact there?
Yeah, a big impact for Australian travellers who are getting ready to plan their ski holiday going into year end. You're obviously at the rally Aussie yen has been quite impressive, particularly from those lows in the middle of the year. But in reality, while it's been a strong rally and you buy more yen for your dollar today than you did 6 months ago, we're really just at levels where we were last year, or the way to look at it for your last ski tour of Japan. But it has been a very volatile year of the yen. It really strengthened and rallied into that April mid-year, and now it's been coming off so steadily. So the Aussie dollar is the beneficiary of the new Prime Minister's policies. And again, as you're booking for those ski holidays, you're getting some benefit from where you were definitely 6 months ago.
So you think Ms. Takeuchi's ascent will mean that the Australian dollar will strengthen further against the yen?
Potentially, again, a lot of that rally's happened today. It's been a very, very strong rally in the equity market and a very much a weaker yen. And that's all happened on the expectations of the again, as we say, the Takaichi trade. And that is the Bank of Japan doesn't increase rates anymore, stimulus, more spending, and that weaker yen, which is very conducive and strong for Japanese corporate profits. So the bulk of that rally's already happened, with some more to come, depending how those policies roll out. It's just that change in expectation, and that's where you're seeing these very violent move of markets, and in this case, stronger equity markets, weaker yen.
So, where would you see the yen against the Australian dollar in a few weeks or months' time?
Approaching that 100 mark, again, getting to those levels where we were a year ago. It's around that 99 level at the moment, but approaching that 100 mark in the low 101s, 102s, perhaps going into year end. But again, it's been a lot of weakness coming ahead. It's been quite an aggressive move and weakness against the US dollar, weakness against the euro, and weakness against the Aussie. So it's very conducive, again, to those the annual holiday into Japan for the ski resorts. So the timing is very good for all Australian travellers who like Japanese food, culture, of course, and obviously the ski season.
Good news for many. So finally, just going back to the local share market, a quiet day, obviously, with half the country on holidays. Any newsmakers you would point to?
No major newsmakers on the holiday period. Obviously, the market's open for the holiday period in Australia. Again, just reinforcing the gold stocks have been the big beneficiaries today, and copper producers because of supply constraints. Broadly, in the whole market, it has rallied quite a bit, and valuations are not cheap by any means. Some headwinds potentially would be that the RBA won't be cutting interest rates as people would have expected a couple of months ago. There is some stubborn inflation in the system. But nevertheless, the lead of Australian equity market does come from US and global equities in part, that sentiment, but nothing too much to add. But again, just to reinforce, the story of the day are gold and gold producers and copper producers in Australia have been doing quite well in the equity index.
And finally, where at this moment would you see opportunities for investors?
Well, investors, more of the same, targeting good quality companies in Australia that produce that reliable dividend. And obviously, a big portion of the equities for Australians are developed market equities around the world. They obviously have got some good resilient earnings. The market and globally are getting ready at the end of this month for the US quarterly earning period, which is a very important report card because of the lockdown of government in America. It means the economic data is not coming out. So the earnings and the guidance coming out is a really good sort of a report card to assist investors. So US equities have been quite good return, and the opportunities for, again, Japanese equities and European equities. So global equities as well to be complementing the Australian exposure.
That was George Bouboros from K2 Asset Management. That's all for today. Ricardo will be back tomorrow. Thank you for joining me.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.